What's in a name? That's the title of a new series that we're starting as we begin to think about the names of God in the Bible. Names are very special things, aren't they? A name comes to embody who a person is. Their character, their personality, who they are, is bound up in their name. They can't be separated. Lots of our names have meanings, and some of us may have even been given our name for special reasons. Maybe you were named after your father or your grandmother. Or maybe your name is in the Bible and you were given your name with the meaning of the name in mind. For example, Elizabeth means pledged to God, or Joshua means the Lord is salvation. Or maybe you were given your name just because your parents liked it. Well, however you got it, it represents who you are. If you get stopped on the street and somebody asks, "Who are you?" Well, the first thing that you'd say is your name. "I'm Tom Campbell." Our names are intimately bound up with who we are and where we come from. So in this series, we're going to be going to explore various names of God from the Bible. And names were even more full of meaning in Bible times than they are today. So much so that some people in the Bible even go through a name change when something big happens. Abram, for example, means exalted father, but he becomes Abraham, which means father of many or multitude. Remember, God blessed him and said his descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky. Or remember in Ruth, when Naomi asks the people to call her Mara, because she was no longer pleasant, but bitter. Names were very significant in revealing something about the person involved, like Jacob, which means holder of the heel or supplanter, who was born holding his brother's heel. You remember he later tricked his brother out of his rights as the firstborn. But Jacob, who was this cheater or supplanter, he wrestled with God. He had this encounter with God, and God gives him a new name, which means wrestles with God and overcomes. So names give us an insight into the person, into the character of who they are. And it's the very same with God. He's referred to in the Bible with different names, and these names act like windows into the character of God. Looking through a window can be a very rude or invasive thing to do. Maybe you found a nosy neighbour once peering in through your window. It's not a very nice experience, is it? It's invasive because it lets somebody see right into the heart of your house. They might just see the real you. They might just really see what happens when you're at home. Well, God is inviting us to peer through these windows, to discover these names that he has revealed so that we can know him more and see the wonderful God that he is. And to start us off, we're going to begin by thinking about two names today. Two names that God has called, and we're going to think about the significance that that has for us today. So Zoe is going to read the first passage for us, and make sure you listen out for the name. It might be a word or name that you're not very familiar with.
Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 and 26 to 31. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim was hovering over the waters. And Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Elohim saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Then Elohim said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So Elohim created mankind in his own image. In the image of Elohim he created them, male and female he created them. Elohim blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then Elohim said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. Elohim saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there is evening and there is morning, the sixth day.
I'm sure you heard it. The first name we're going to think about is Elohim. This is the very first name that we come to read in the Bible. In the very first verse, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So who is this Elohim? Well, this is the Hebrew word that we read in our Bibles translated as God. And this name for God is a name that highlights his transcendence. Elohim is a being who is beyond our experience. He's of another realm. He's of the heavenly realm. One writer explains that this name signifies a perfect example of all divine, transcendent, and heavenly powers. So Elohim is the transcendent God. Well, we all know what it means to ascend. We go up. Or we all know what it means to go to descend. We go down. Well, to transcend is to go beyond. Elohim goes beyond what we can imagine or think. He's far beyond us. He's not like us. Elohim is not part of the created order. In fact, it is Elohim who made the created order. He is the powerful creator God who made everything that exists, and he himself is outside or beyond that creation. He's beyond even the heavens and the earth. He was there before creation. We see some opposites happening in our first passage. Sometimes knowing the opposite of something can help us to understand what it's like. So cold is not hot. Wet is not dry. Full is not hungry. Tall is not short. The opposites help to describe or help us to understand a little better what something is like. Well, Elohim is not Adama, which means earthly. And this is where Adam comes from, in name and in essence. He was formed from the dust of the earth, Adama, and given the name Adam, a name which refers to mankind, but personally to Adam, the first man. Elohim is not earthly. He's not like the created world. Elohim is totally different. He's of the heavenly realm. He is transcendent. So when we think about Elohim, we come to understand that our God is totally different from us. He exists outside of time and space. He is powerful, immortal, eternal. These are the kinds of things that we come to understand as we learn that God is Elohim. It is this powerful, transcendent God who created everything. He's the creator of the entire universe. All substance and matter and time and powers and people and creatures. Everything was created by Elohim, by the transcendent, powerful God. Well, tomorrow is a very special day if you're a Star Wars fan. May the Fourth be with you. Well, that's what holds everything together in the Star Wars universe, isn't it? It's the Force, a powerful, pervading, yet impersonal force. Is that what Elohim is like? Is Elohim a powerful, pervading, yet impersonal force? No. Elohim is personal. We see at the very beginning that Elohim speaks and creation happens. We see that what he creates, he orders it. When he sees his creation and he calls it good. We see that he creates mankind in his own image. And a little later we see that he walks in the garden with them. Elohim is a powerful, transcendent God who is at the same time personal. So what does it mean for us that we meet Elohim in these first few verses of the Bible? What does it mean that we meet this transcendent God? Well, humankind longs for something more, something greater, something that goes beyond our present experience. And you could describe this longing in us as a longing for transcendence. You could phrase it as a question like, there must be more to life than this. With life so changed as it is now, maybe you're asking the same question. Well, what's the point in life? I can't do the things I want to do anymore. I can't see the people I want to see, and I can't go where I want to go. We long for something beyond our present experience. Or even when our likes are restored, the places where we want to go are restored, we still have that deep longing in us, something for more. A deep longing for more than just a walk on the beach, or just sunny weather or a happy family. A longing for more than just freedom from isolation. We long for something more, and it's called transcendence. Something that goes beyond us. The world of fantasy shows us our fascination and longing for something more. Stories about superheroes and characters in this world that goes beyond our experience. But this longing can never be satisfied from something from this world. And here, at the very beginning of the Bible, we meet the ultimate, supreme, transcendent being. The one who satisfies our longing and desire for something more. Elohim, our powerful God. Before we look at the second name, let's think for a moment how we should respond when we meet Elohim. One response is that if you're someone longing for something more, is one of relief. You found it. There is something more to life. We meet the powerful creator of the universe. Elohim is the one who satisfies the deepest longing in us. Another response is worship. Elohim is not like us. He's the one who has made us, and he deserves to be worshipped and praised because of who he is. He's the Almighty God above everything. Finally, humility. We're humbled when we meet someone who is better or greater or beyond us at something. I remember in my late teens, fancying myself as a pretty good guitar player, only to one day hear a friend of my younger brother playing the guitar and realizing he was much better. It's a humbling experience when we meet someone who's greater or goes beyond what we are. Well, when we meet Elohim, we meet the greatest, most unique being of all time. And it should humble us, seeing who he is and what he has done, and amazingly, that he wants to personally relate to us, to be friends with us, to have us in his family. He deserves all our thanks and praise and obedience as we want to humbly serve him. The second name we're going to consider is from an encounter that Abraham has with a king and priest called Melchizedek. John Mark is going to read it for us. And again, watch out for that name.
Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 to 24. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of El Elyon, and he blessed Abram, saying, Blessed be Abram by El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to El Elyon, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the peoples, and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord El Elyon, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what the men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share.
I'm sure you heard it. El Elyon. This is the name that is used when you see God Most High. It's not used very often in the Bible. There is another occurrence in Psalm 78. But here we join the story just after the first war in the Bible. Between different kings and kingdoms, and all the goods from Sodom and Gomorrah had been seized, including Lot and his possessions. And Lot was Abram's nephew. Abram hears what happened, and he sends his trained men on a rescue mission. They save Lot and his family, and they recover all the goods from Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abram saves Lot, and he has all of these goods that he's won in battle. And two kings come out to meet him, the king of Sodom, and the other, the king of Salem. And the king of Salem blesses Abraham by El Elyon, God Most High. He says, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. El Elyon, God Most High. Elohim in the Bible can also refer to other spiritual beings like angels and demons. They come from another realm, the heavenly realm, or even kings of nations. It conveys beings from this heavenly realm or beings with great power. But here we hear another name of God, which gives us another glimpse, another peek into his character. El Elyon, God Most High. It was always very satisfying when you had a who's the tallest contest and you came out on top. Standing back to back with someone, and someone would put their hand on your heads, or they'd take a step back, they'd crouch and see Tom's taller. Sadly, that wasn't a very common experience, as most of my friends in school were taller than me. But there is something significant about height when you're a child. Or maybe even you still think it now. People go to great lengths to build the highest buildings and have the record for what is the highest. Do you know the highest building in the world? No, it's not the Elysian. It's a place called the Burj Khalifa. It almost looks fake, it's so tall. We put a superiority in being tallest or highest. Well, out of all the kings and all the gods, any other Elohim in the ancient world, the God that Abram followed was El Elyon, God Most High. He is the God of gods, the King of kings, the ultimate and supreme ruler of all. He has absolute power and authority above all others or anyone that you can think of. El Elyon is the ruler of them all. And this is incredible news for us, because this is the same God that we worship today. Our God is El Elyon. He is God Most High. No power matches him. No ruler has more authority. No heavenly being can outrank him. He is the ruler of all. and that means we can trust him. He's the one with absolute power and control. He's in control of the cosmos, as well as the Bandon River, flowing steadily through green fields. He's in control of COVID-19, and he's in control of the tiny details in our lives. We can trust him because he is God Most High, El Elyon. It means we can relax, knowing God is in control, and we can get on enjoying life and living for him. Melchizedek describes El Elyon as the creator of heaven and earth. This God, El Elyon, is the same God, Elohim, who created all things. And he is above all other gods and powers and kings because he is the one true God. He created you and he created me and he holds all things together. You and I have a maker who cares deeply for his creation. He cares deeply for us. He is El Elyon. And he's worthy of praise and worship and obedience and thanks. He's the one who created all things and he holds them all together. But as we finish, how can we possibly know such an awesome God? The transcendent, powerful, most high God. How could we ever know him? How could we ever meet him? Well, in this short passage in Genesis 14, we get a glimpse of someone very special. We get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus, who is king and priest before God, in the order of Melchizedek, as we're told in the book of Hebrews. He came and he showed us how personal this God Elohim and El Elyon really is. You see, Jesus is Elohim and El Elyon in the flesh. Jesus is the way to know Elohim, to meet El Elyon, to be called into God's family, because he is God himself in the flesh. Colossians describes Jesus like this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So let's seek to know God more in the coming months as we discover his names, as we peek through these windows, which show us the character of our mighty God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can come before an awesome, transcendent God, Elohim. We thank you for your power, that Lord, you're not like us. You are far greater and beyond, but yet you call us to yourself. And Lord, we thank you that you are El Elyon, the Most High God, above all other rulers and kings and gods. You are the one true God. And Lord, in the coming months, as we look at your names, as we come to know you more, please reveal yourself to us in a greater way, in a deeper way, that we come to trust you more deeply, cling to you, and run to you in obedience. So Lord, we thank you for how you reveal yourself to us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.